Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So far, you've seen up to verses 18 in chapter 13, which is the Kshetragna Vibhaga Yoga, differentiation between the field and its knower. First few verses were devoted to what is Kshetra, what is the field? And we constantly remind ourselves it included the body. This body, this mind, this intellect, in the world of my thoughts, my actions, my experiences and my emotions is the field. So everything outside and within me, as I consider me, is the field. For the knower of the field, one who knows this field, and he is the one who is acting through it. The last few verses we have seen is defining the knower. Who is the knower who knows this field? Who is the one who knows my thoughts? You know, who is the one who is aware of my thoughts? Because we always say, well, I am aware of my thought. Well, who is that I who is aware of that thought? So when you say, I think, one I is looking at the thought which occurred in my mind. So that knower must be someone other than this, the thinker, the filler, the perceiver. That perceiver, filler, thinker is the ego, is part of this field. So we had been describing in last few verses the attributes of the knower, who knows my thoughts, who is aware of my presence, who is aware of this world. The last verse we had seen, it said, sarvatah panipadam, that it has the legs and feet and mouths and hands everywhere. In other words, anything that I see which is moving with life is his presence. It also says, but even the chara and achara, not only the moving but also non-moving, is also nothing but his presence only. Asaktam sarva bruchaiva nirgunam guna bhoktacha, even though he's unattached, but he's enjoying all the gunas. And then we say it is bahihi antascha. It is not only inside me, but also outside me. Now that is something new for us, because we always see that life is within the living beings. That's not a problem for us. But life outside the living being is something which we cannot accept. And therefore it makes it clear that because he's all-pervading, you can't leave anything out. If something is all-pervading, there cannot be any gaps. It's within me and within you, but nothing in between. It is very difficult for a mind to comprehend that this all-pervading being which is myself is not just within me and within you, but in between you and I too. It's pervading all around. As I said last time, just as with the space is within the room, but we never acknowledge the space is also outside the room. But the very fact that the space was here is a contiguous entity, we could create this room space. In the same way, the knower who is pervading everywhere and livens this equipment when it comes into contact with it. So he says, bahihi antascha, is outside and inside. But we can know that. Why? Because of its subtlety. Sukshmatvat. Because of its subtlety, we cannot recognize it, know it. Just as we can hear the sound from the air conditioner right now, but we cannot hear anything which is going on in this room in terms of radio waves which are in this room. Radio waves are here, we know that, because as soon as I turn the radio on, it will be there. But because of its subtlety, my senses are not capable of recognizing its presence here. But the tuner can recognize its presence when we tune it to the particular frequency. Same way, when a living body comes into contact with that consciousness, its presence is felt. But without that, his presence is not recognizable because of the limitations of my equipment. And then the verse we have seen, say, avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva cha sthitam. This is what we just discussed. Say, even though undivided, he remains in people as divided. Therefore, I consider my consciousness mine, and yours is yours, and hers is hers, and his is his. Therefore, when someone dies, that's not really that painful to me. I may feel sad. People really get broken down when their beloved die. It's actually, if you really see it, they are not really crying for the person who has gone. It is the effect of him not being on your life is what you are crying. So eventually, are only concerned about you. So, I cannot recognize the continuity of my being everywhere. So it seems that he is divided. He is in me, he is in you, he is in her, he is in him, he is in it. But I can never see a continuity. So there's avibhaktam, even though he is undivided. Chabhutesu vibhaktim ivachasthitam. But he stays in the being as if he is divided. And therefore we consider my consciousness different than yours and his is different than hers. In reality it is just one concept. Therefore we say this space is good versus what? This space on the other side. Why is that? Because we consider this space is distinctly different than that. Now what we really mean is the conditioning of this space is different than the conditioning of that space. Space remains exactly what it was before both the spaces were created, which is outside and also. So even though the space is undivided, it seems divided. You better understand when you take the car as an example. The space in each car, it seems as a divide. My car space is better than yours and hers is better than mine. But cars are moving in the space. Is the space moving with the car or car moving in the space? We obviously say the car is moving in the space. Space remains undivided, unattached. Same way the self in me seems divided even though it is undivided. Avibhaktam. Bhuta bhartruta tat gneyam. Therefore, you should know that as the supporter of all the beings. All the beings are living beings because of its presence in them. Therefore, he is the supporter. When that support is taken away, that being is no more a living being. Grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. It devours and it generates. I can create large room here, small room here, many rooms here, one big room here. All of that because of the space which exists here. Not that I can import space from Hanover County and create more space here. Space is here and I can, out of that I can create rooms and demolish rooms. Out of this one undivided being, all the beings come into being and go away. A standard question we typically hear in this kind of Vedanta classes is, what happens to all the souls who die? Or what happens when we have this population explosion? Where are those new souls are coming from? That is it like a factory that Bhagwan is creating more souls and therefore you have more population? The answer is there was never any division. Just as in the ocean, waves come and go. Is there more waves? Does it mean that ocean has created more? No. Or less waves? It is the nature of the ocean to express itself as waves. It comes out of it and goes back into it. There is no question of too many waves or too little waves. It's the conditioning which creates this. So, Grasishnu Prabhavishnu cha. He devours, you can see the ocean devours all the waves and it generates all the waves out of his own self. Same way this knower of this field creates this field out of himself and also recedes it back into himself. Just as my own thoughts, I create my own world of my thoughts and also puts that back into my mind. Next is Jyotisham Apitat Jyotihi. Therefore, it is the light of that light. That knower, the knower of the field, is the light. Because anything which we know, we associate with light. We can only see things in this room when there is light. So we can say, let's throw some light on this subject. It doesn't mean that you take a torch out and say, but tell me, how can I understand? So the light is associated with illumination in my mind about the awareness of it. So say, that knower, Jyotisham Apitat Jyotihi, that knower is the light of all knowing. Tamasaha Paramuchyate, it is beyond darkness. Well, what is darkness? Is there anything called darkness? Or something like, is there an entity called cold? There is nothing called really cold. It's only lack of heat. If you take the heat away, it's cold. But there's no entity called cold. You can measure heat or lack of it. You cannot measure cold. Even say it's below freezing, but it's lack of heat. From an engineer's perspective, there is no entity called cold. There is only entity called heat. The same way, there is no entity called darkness. The only entity called light. Absence of light is darkness. Tamasaha param uchyate. It is beyond darkness. In other words, it is beyond ignorance. Right now, I am under the spell of ignorance. It does not let me feel his presence outside of me. I can recognize that there are other living beings, but that's about it. I can't recognize his presence outside of me. I recognize my consciousness, but not others. Because of the darkness in my knowing. So he said, he is beyond that darkness. Once you tune with that, that ignorance does not exist. It's not where sometimes I understand, sometimes I don't feel. Well, that sometimes means you did not understand at all. You know. Once I have understood that self, there is no ignorance left. Tamasaha paramuchyate. Therefore, it is considered beyond darkness. Gnanam gneyam gnanagamyam rudi sarvasya visishtatam. It resides in all hearts. Heart of all. So now we again say, well, it must be we are talking about the living being, you know. Living being feels his presence, but he remains at the core of everything. When you say heart of something, heart of this organization, heart of this country, there's the same way for the non-living, say core of this instrument. Whatever is the essence of everything, he remains there as Gnanam, Gneyam, Gnanagamyam. He remains there as the knowledge that which is to be known and goal of the knowledge, Gnanagamyam. We have basically completed the definition or the attributes of the knower. We have known the field, now we are given the attributes of the knower. And obviously our goal is to remove that parallax between I and him. So the last verse we have seen, iti kshetram tatha gnanam gnenam cha uktam samasataha. I have given you the definition of kshetra, knowledge, and that to be known in brief. Mad bhakta etad vignaya bhavaya upapadyate. My devotee, having known this, once I know myself, I have known the object of my devotion or the entity of my devotion, the Lord of my devotion. Once I know myself, I already know what the Lord is. Once I know my consciousness in its true nature, I know all the consciousness which is pervading everywhere. And therefore Bhagavan says, Mad Bhavaya Upapadyate. He becomes one with me. He enters into my being. In other words, now he is no more a limited being. He is me. is my being. Ocean water, once recedes back into the ocean, loses identity, it becomes ocean. As long as I have this name and form associated with my existence, I'm not ocean. I'm wave. Once I lost that identity with the form and the name, I became ocean. Madbhakta etad vignaya, my devotee having known this, he comes to become me. That's where we will stop.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.